Shabbat shalom, y'all. We're in the South. You got to say it that way. They do it in South Israel. I'm just teasing. That's not true. Okay. So, I'm Pastor Steve. I am not speaking today. I'm looking forward to learning something today. Pastor Scott is going to be our speaker today. So for those who are unfamiliar with kind of who we are, that we are not our own independent congregation. Sometimes that seems to be a little confusing to folk, but we are a ministry of Agape. So I'm the Messianic pastor, taking care of what's happening here on Shabbat. And Pastor Scott is the head pastor of everything that happens here on Agape. So, yeah, worried about all the water? Yeah, it seems to be getting worse. So for some reason, when that fan shuts off, I don't know if it's just the fan or if we've got, you know, air conditioner or something. Yeah, so, but hey, Benjamin, would you just give him a taste of what it would be like if we didn't have the quietness right now? Just to kind of show you, you have to either tolerate a little bit of moisture because condensation builds on the upper side of this. If not, that makes it a little bit difficult during worship. We might be able to handle that during the sermon if we want to slow down the dripping, but I don't know. We'll just leave it off. It's a little noisy. Okay, so anyhow, we're Ahava. We are a ministry of Agape. And so today, we want to have Pastor Scott in from time to time so he can check on us and making sure we're doing everything properly and keeping everything in order so he knows that, well, we're just not crazy. Well, he knows that. That's why we agreed to do this together. But I also like to point out that a lot of people misunderstand what happens here on Sabbath. Not here, but on Sabbath in general. It is to be a time of rest of our spirits, rest of our bodies, and it's a time for rejoicing. So that's why we do things a little bit different in the way we have service together, because we want to celebrate and worship what God's doing on this day. Okay? And now, so we still have some kids. So Stacy is going to be leading the children's service today. So if you have any little ones you want to turn loose, she's got some plans and some, not games, but some illustrations and, huh?
They probably should stop praying for her.
Right. No. Well, it's not gonna be difficult for her. It's gonna be, you know, normally after we get everybody fed, we turn the kids loose in the gym, you know, to run it off for the next hour and a half. But we can't really do that today, right? So luckily, fortunately, it's nice enough outside that we can let them go climb over all the trees. And I'm just kidding. They didn't hear that. So, all right. Anyway, so without further ado, Pastor Scott.
I just saw it fall. When I saw the water on the chair when I first came in, I accused Steve of actually spilling something. That's just the way we roll, isn't it, Steve? So it's such a good opportunity to be with you once again today, as always. And I'm so blessed to be here in the house with you. And so thank you so much for gathering together on this wonderful day, this wonderful, glorious Shabbat, to honor the Lord. We are a Sabbath-keeping congregation. We honor the Lord on His Shabbat. We cease from our labors. We honor Him. We allow Him to rejuvenate us and to renew us and to refresh us in everything He wants to do in our lives. Amen? Well, before we get into the Word, I did want to also wish you a Shana Tova, a Happy New Year as well. Let's go to Exodus, please, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, this is kind of a little appetizer. How many of you, when you go out to eat, sometimes you get an appetizer? Okay, this is the appetizer to the meal today, okay? It's not a lot, but I did want to just mention this to you. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, the scripture tells us, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be the beginning of months.'" Everybody say the beginning of months? This is the beginning of months. "It shall be the first month." Everybody say first month? First month of the year. "And when is that? You shall speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" You continue reading, he's about to describe the Passover, the Pesach. "So on the first day of the month of Nisan," or the first of the month, "this is the first month of the new year to you. Now, our rabbis, unfortunately, have implied a little bit of replacement theology and moved it to the fall. Ironically, it came during their time in Babylon, and they stayed there. They have conveniently replaced Yom Teruah with Rosh Hashanah, but it's actually biblically the Feast of Trumpets at that time. But here you see very clearly that this is the beginning of the month. It's the beginning of the year for you. There might be different opinions in the room, as I'm sure there just might be, but that's okay. We just rest here on what the Word says. So Happy New Year, everybody. Now you say, well, what about January 1st or December 31? We all know that Pope Gregory decided to give that to us in the 1500s, but I mean, now that we reject what Pope Gregory gave us, then we hold to what God gave us. Amen? So we expect that the new year, and from God's perspective, the new year has begun. It began a couple of days ago. And we expect that in the new year, that new things are going to begin to happen. And when God does something new, how many know it breaks forth and it changes everyone that it touches? So we expect this year, as we engage in the new year, we expect that the plan and purpose of God is met fully with our hearts open to hear what He has to say. It's actually raining on me up here. You know, we were praying for the rain last week in the prayer meeting. I had no idea it would be an internal rain. The rain of the Holy Spirit, that's what we were praying for. All right, so again, Happy New Year, everyone. To set our hearts and our faith on this next year that we're going to engage in something new. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that they kept the Passover by faith. Thank you for your enthusiasm here in the house. When it first was given to them, they'd never seen Passover over before. So the Bible says they kept it by faith. You've got to engage the Pesach with your faith. You have to engage everything God gave us in faith, believing that what God gave us, we're going to be able to pull out of that gift whatever God wants us to have. And I've got an expectation on this year on Passover. I'm beginning a series tomorrow in our main service at the top of the hill on unleavened bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm really expecting some really awesome things to be happening. So keep us in your prayers as we go into that. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is something that the Lord has really placed on my heart in a heavy way. This happened to me a couple of months ago. If you've attended any of the main services at the top of the hill, you will have heard me talk somewhat about this. But I really believe that if we as a body do not find a way to walk in unity together, we can forget about changing the world. It's interesting to me that people are all ready to, we're going to change the world, we're going to set the world on fire, but they can't govern themselves. They can't watch their own mouth. They can't walk in unity with their brothers or with their sisters. And the Lord is wanting us to find a way that we can walk together in unity. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be, as some people believe, a neighborhood for the Baptist and a neighborhood for the Catholics and a neighborhood for the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals are outside of the holy city because they make too much noise. You know what I'm talking about? So we got them segregated. That's not going to happen. And so what we begin to do now is begin to rehearse heaven right now. And one of the things we find in heaven, as Jesus prayed, Lord, let your will be done here, that's being done there. There is perfect agreement with the Word of God. There's perfect agreement with the community of the Father. There's unity among the body. And so with that in mind, go with me, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter number 17. We're going to read John 17. We're going to read verse 20 through 23. This is the way the Lord put it to me whenever I was praying about this. I didn't know what I was praying for. I was just praying in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly. And He said, do not allow among you that which the Lord hates. And immediately I knew that He was talking about discord among the brethren. Did you know that God hates discord? Discord, disunity, God hates it when we turn against each other. If you are involved in that, stop it. Because God hates it. If we're involved in speaking words against our brother, against our sister, God hates what you are doing. I feel the love this morning. But it's very important that we understand this. If God, the Bible only gives us, seven things that are an abomination to the Lord. And if you count a few things in the book of Revelation, a couple more when it comes to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and so forth. But He gives us six things that He hates, seven that are abomination. And if you look at four out of the seven have to do with what you do with your mouth. But one of the things He says there, He hates the sowing of discord among those who sow discord among the brethren. God does not want us to walk in discord or disunity with each other. And don't you know, if the devil knows God hates a certain group of things, how many know he's going to try to amplify those in the body of Messiah? He's going to try to get God's people to do the very things that God hates to be seen done. And it's so easy to give into our flesh to allow discord to have rule and reign in our life. Now, I haven't even read this verse yet, but so the Lord tells me this, right? So I'm away, I'm in prayer. The Lord tells me this. As soon as I get back to the church, my first appointment, when I'm back in the office, my very first appointment, guess what it's about? It's about discord. And then a couple days later, I have another appointment, and guess what it's about? It's about discord. And over, this is compounding since I've been back, but guess what? I believe I'm an anointed man to deal with the discord that's happening in the body right now. Because I believe God spoke to me about that. However, this requires an unpleasant confrontation with those who are spreading discord. But if we know that God hates something, the very last thing that any of us should want to do is participate in what God hates. So we should be running as far away from disunity and as far away from discord as we possibly can. And I would go ahead and add this. There is no one on the planet that should walk in more unity than those who follow Messiah. And if among us there's as much discord as there is outside, we got a big problem. And it starts inside of our heart. And that means we got to do some examination that's going on here, because truly something is not right in Jerusalem if we cannot get our hearts in the right place with each other. Get this, you're going to have to live beside me forever. Do you realize that? So you better start loving me right now, because I'm not going anywhere. And I believe I'll have some of my bad habits, you know, purged out by the time we get to the pearly gates. But see, you got to love me. You got to love your neighbor, because we are stuck with each other. You know, if you're a part of a family, you know you got some weird relatives, right? But they're still your relatives. You just can't do anything about that. And guess what? Everybody in this room is your relative. You cannot get rid of each other or just ignore each other. We are in this thing together. Amen? So look what the scripture tells us here. Jesus says this, starting in verse number 20, it says, I pray not on behalf of these only. So Jesus, this is Messiah praying. And he's about to pray. He says, I'm not just praying. He's praying to the Father, of course. He said, I'm not just praying for these here. I'm not just praying for my Jewish followers, my apostles, but I am also, not on these only, but also for those who will believe on me through their message. So not only is he praying for the Jewish followers he had right then, but he's also praying for the group that's going to come through the message they're going to preach. And how many know that's all of us? So this is cool. Jesus is praying a prayer for me. He's praying a prayer for you. Right now, he's praying for us. And what's the prayer that he's praying? He's praying this. He says, that they may be one. Echad. They may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may be one in us. Get this next part. So that the world may believe. Now, when he prays that they may be one as you and the Father are one, I mean, you cannot get much closer than that. You cannot get much more in unity than that. And the purpose for this is that the world believes that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, the Bible tells us this, that when we have love for each other, when we have love for one another, the Bible says that when you have love for one another, they'll know that you're my disciples. Now, I didn't tell you this, but this is the last prayer he prays before he goes to the cross. So the very last thing on his mind before he goes to the cross is the salvation of the world and the key that we hold to making that happen. So again, if you're the enemy, what do you think might be your prime objective? And that is to create as much division as you possibly can. To create as much discord as you possibly can. Brother against brother, sister against sister, husband against wife, pastor against church, church against pastor, rabbi against congregation, so on and so forth, to create as much discord as possible, because he understands. Hey, listen, when Jesus was walking around, you know the devil didn't ignore him. So he's probably walking around hearing what Jesus is praying And he says, this is the key. The whole world is going to believe in Jesus if these people following him find a way to love each other and get along with each other. So all of a sudden, here comes the rain again. So all of a sudden, he begins to find ways to sow discord in our life. Ladies and gentlemen, discord is a cancer. Now understand this. Unity is not uniformity. In other words, unity is not sameness. Because you can look around the room and tell, we ain't the same. All right, we're not the same. But you don't have to be the same, but still find unity. But our world has taught us the way we find unity is if you agree with everything I say. And if you don't, I'm going to shadow ban you. I'm going to unfriend you. I'm going to blast you. But that's not how we work. You know, at this church, we are a complementarian church. If you're not familiar with that phrase, typically most churches fall into two camps. It's called egalitarian or complementarian. Egalitarianism is basically where men and women are the same. We believe men and women are equal, but not the same. So we are a complementarian church, meaning I believe that women can do things men can't do, and that men can do things that women can't do. And our differences make us stronger and show God in the earth. But just trying to make everybody the same, then that means that when you buy into that, then all of a sudden, boys can play in girls' sports. Oh, wait a minute. Do you mean maybe what's happening in the world today is because the church has been teaching and believing the wrong thing for a long time? Yeah, a lot of what we see in the world today is the church's fault. Because we have preached one thing and believed one thing and pushed something, and now we see it manifesting in the world today, and we're shocked and we're horrified. Oh, look at all the contention in the world. The political parties can't agree. How horrible. Are you kidding me? You know how many Christian denominations are on the world today? 41,000 Christian denominations. Why? Because we can't agree about anything. I like green carpet. I like blue. Boom, let's start a new church. The first church of the blue carpet. There. Done. So we have the power of the Holy Ghost to change the world, but we can't get along. You're deceiving yourself. We're never going to change the world if we can't find a way to get along just with each other one day a week. Or maybe twice a week, but only for an hour and a half. That's a total of 3 hours a week, but that's too much. Because after all, you don't know Sister Hallelujah. And you don't know Brother Amen. Believe me, you would have the same opinion. No, you are meant to. You are made for so much more than that. You have the power of the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of you, empowering you to be more than you are right now. Allowing the church to find ways to walk in unity. Again, it's not uniformity. It's not sameness. Equality is not sameness. We believe that we are dramatically different from each other. My wife's differences are a strength to our marriage. I am so glad my wife is not like me. Can I get an amen, gentlemen? There's a huge difference between men and women, if you haven't noticed. This one guy, he said he and his wife, they had a friend, and this friend had recently gotten a divorce from his wife, and neither one of the couple had seen the man for about 6 months. And this gentleman who was telling the story, he said they went to play golf together. And he came home from playing golf, and his wife said, "How's Gary doing?" And the man who played golf with him said, "Well, I don't know." And she said, "But didn't you play golf with him today?" "Well, yeah, all day." "And you don't know how he's doing?" "No, why would I know how he's doing?" "You mean you sat in the same golf cart for 4 hours and you don't know how he's doing?" No, I don't know. Is he dating anybody?" I don't know." He said, I don't. "How would I know something like that?" In other words, the way that we think about things, you know what I'm talking about, right? We're dramatically different in how we approach everything, but the way that my wife is wonderful, and it's a compliment to me. I don't want my wife to be just like me. I want her to be very different than I am. Some of you aren't feeling this the way I'm trying to communicate it this morning. But men, do you want your wife to be different than you?
Yeah.
Okay, because if you had to kiss a face that looked like yours, you would run. You want her different than you. Because I'm not seeing much beauty in the men out here at all. Hey. Just walk in unity with me now. Just walk in unity. All right, so Messiah goes on to say, he says that they may be one, that the world may believe what? That you sent me. Now, this is the last thing he's going to pray before he goes to the cross. He's not praying, God, Father, give my people more authority. They can dominate this world and subdue the devil. He cares about your authority. He gave you that authority, but that's not what he's praying for. He didn't pray, Lord, make sure all my people walk in health and healing. Lord, let them walk whole. Now, he wants you to walk healthy and all. He bore stripes on your back so you could live that way, but that's not what he's praying for. He didn't say, Lord, let my people be able to walk in a huge level of prosperity so that they can spend the money and move the gospel out. God cares about your financial blessing because although he was rich, he became poor for your sake that you might be also rich. But he's not praying for that. He's praying for what he knows will change the world, and that's what you do with your heart towards your brother. Get this, it's not what you do with your heart towards God. It's what you do with your heart towards your brother. Gentlemen, did you know the Bible says if you don't live with your wife properly, your prayers are hindered? So my relationship with God is dependent upon my relationship with other people? Yeah. Well, it's just me and the Lord. No such thing. Well, I have a great relationship with God, but I just hate people. Doesn't work. If you say you love God who you haven't seen, but say you hate your brother who you have seen, guess what you are? You're a liar. No, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says if you're going to go give your gift, oh, I remember my brother's got something against me. What do you do with your gift? You leave it there, and you do what? You go make it right. So in other words, my giving to God is hindered based upon a natural, carnal, horizontal relationship I have with my brother? Yes. My prayer life is hindered based upon a horizontal relationship with my spouse? Yes. If I don't forgive other people, you mean my father is not going to forgive me? No, he's not. As a matter of fact, the way you forgive somebody else is the way your heavenly father is going to forgive you. So my vertical relationship is entirely dependent upon my horizontal relationship? Yes. How do you forgive people? However you're giving it out, it's what's coming back to you. How would you like to beg God for forgiveness and he says, you know, I forgive you, but I'm not coming to your place anymore. I forgive you, but we're not talking anymore. I forgive you, but I'm not answering your text. But I forgive you. You know they don't forgive you. But that's the way they're giving forgiveness. If that's the way you give it, then guess what? That's the way it's coming back to you. The way you treat others determines the level that you walk with God. Messiah is praying the very last thing. Lord, let them be one. Just like you and I are one. Do you believe that there is complete unity in God? Do you believe if Jesus prays a prayer, it will be answered? This prayer is going to be answered someday. So are you participating? And are you an answer to this prayer? Or are you the one that's being prayed against? Which one are you? Are you the one, a part of the fulfillment of the prayer of Messiah? Are you the one he's actually positioned himself saying, I don't want this type of attitude in the church. I want unity. Now, if you ask somebody to forgive you over and over again and they refuse to do it, you can't do anything about that. But you're not responsible for other people's reactions, actions. You're responsible for your own. It's you who is responsible for how you deal with other people. They might not want to walk in unity, but you are meant to keep the right attitude towards them, even if they don't. That's not easy. Why? Because you live something in something called a flesh, a body. You've got a brain that doesn't work half the time. I get it. But in this body, we have to deal with temptations and deal with things that we don't like and deal with things that are not pleasant. But guess what? Be of good cheer, because he already overcame the world, so can you. You have the ability to deal with this thing. Okay, our ancestors could not keep the law completely, but guess what? Now you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside. The law is written on your heart, empowered by the Holy Ghost, that you can walk out the law of God in your life. Verse goes on to say this. The glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Say it like you're from South Georgia. Glory. The glory. The glory. I think that's the way the Hebrew reads here. The glory. And the glory. And the glory which you have given to me, I have given to them. Notice the pronoun. I'm sorry. Did I mention pronoun? I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know what pronouns are forms of words that actually indicate whether or not a person is male or female, or if it's actually a common plural word or a singular. So this a pronoun is something that God uses all the time, and he is a he. He is not a she. He is not a it. You are not an it. You are a he or a she, and there is nothing in between it. Our academy teaches this very, very clearly. And I don't know whether you voted for Sarah Huckabee or Sanders or not, but I'm very happy that she actually signed a bill saying, if you're in a school, you got to go to the bathroom of your birth certificate. Did you ever think that we'd be in a place where we would have to say something like this? I mean, really? Tampons in a boy's bathroom? Are you serious? This is... You all know what I'm talking about. This is absolutely demonic. Division. Dissension. We have had more division hit the United States than any other time in the last couple years. COVID came. Guess what? Brother and sister are turning against each other because you masked up and you didn't mask up. I'm not having anything to do with you. You're trying to kill me because you're not wearing a mask. Brothers and sisters! And we're too dense to realize this is an attack of the enemy to destroy us. George Floyd came up. And black against white. Trying to destroy us. Remember a couple years ago, the one percenters. Now it's everybody against the 1%. We have gone through one iteration after the next iteration after the next iteration. Boil all of it down and it comes down to discord and disunity. We are no longer the United States of America. We are the divided states of America. And is it possible that our nation reflects the spiritual state of the church? Are we partnering with Jesus to see this prayer fulfilled? Or are we going to say this prayer is for a future time and our generation will never experience this? If our generation will never experience this, then our generation will never have a worldwide global revival. It's for somebody else. Because he said the world will believe. It starts with the home, with the husband, with the wife. It starts with the nuclear family. And if that is not intact, then nothing actually is going to work intact. No wonder the enemy attacks so strongly against what God instituted. Do you realize that every marriage that takes place, that you attend, that you watch, is a prophetic declaration of Jesus in the church? Why does every society have marriage? Marriage ceremonies. People say, well, it's the rule of the patriarchy in the West. If you don't know what the rule of the patriarchy is in the West, then good for you. Because there's no point in even knowing about it because it's ridiculous. It's the rule of the patriarchy in the West. No, every society on the planet, whether you're Middle Eastern, Far Eastern, South American, North American, European, it doesn't matter. Everybody has. Why do we all have this? Do we all get together and compare? Did the Japanese and the Chinese and the North Koreans and the Scottish and the French and the Peruvians all get together and say, this is what we need to do on a worldwide scale to get everything. No. Why do we do this? Because God gave it to all of us. And so every time there is a marriage, there is a declaration that Jesus is coming back for his bride.
Yes.
It's a prophetic declaration. It is a prophecy that goes forth every single time. I remember it's a little sidebar here. I remember whenever I was a pastor in Scotland for many years, and I had a Jewish man in the church. His name was David, who had gotten born again. He started coming to our church, and he fell in love with a sweet thing in our church named Francesca. So we were going to have they wanted to get married. So they came to me and said, "Oh, Pastor, we want to get married," and I said, "Yeah, we all know that. That's obvious. You want to get married." So you know, we go through everything that we're supposed to go through, and then. And then, so now it comes time for the wedding. Well, David is as Jewish as they can be. And he said, but now he's a believer in Messiah. So they want to get married. They want to get married in a church. I said, well, can you guys arrange it all? And I'll be there. I'll do it. So of course they choose in Scotland, in a city called Stirling where we were living. They chose a church that John Knox actually preached in back in the 1500s. Beautiful church, big stone, granite looking building, and it was beautiful. So I'm there, and I am, of course, I'm in my kilt, and believe me, I look good in a kilt. Let me tell you right now, before we get started, I look good in a kilt. Anyway, that's beside the point, and that's free of charge. So now I realize that one thing we don't do in American weddings, but we do in British weddings, is at one point in the service, everybody goes, including the bride and groom, and they go and they sit down, and the pastor preaches the message. So I know that I'm about to preach a message, and I know half of this entire congregation are Jews. Half are Gentiles. So I'm standing there. We're doing the whole ceremony, you know. So we go up to the altar to have communion. And there's David and his best man Moses standing there. And of course, you look out in the congregation, there's Avram and Jacob. And there. So I'm like, this is just too cool. So I'm serving up the communion elements as we are, and of course I'm praying the Hebrew prayers and so forth. And of course David understands now, after having attended our church, that the communion is the very tail end of the Passover meal. He understands it is the bread of affliction. He understands that the bread has been resurrected. He understands this is the cup of redemption. He gets it. And Moses, his best man, is standing there. And Moses, who has yet to be to any of our church services, during this whole thing is happening, David and Francesca are partaking, and Moses is standing there, and he's bawling like a baby. He's wiping his tears like, what is happening to me? What is happening to me? I was like, ooh, the Holy Ghost is coming on you. I mean, we're about to have a church right now. So Moses is like, he didn't know what was happening. He's standing there. He's bawling his eyes out. Has no idea what they're actually doing because he'd never seen it before. So they go back, and now it's time for me to preach. And so I ascend the pillar. In this church, a lot of these churches, they have these big pillars that go down like an aisle down the church. So and at the very close to the altar of the church, there's these two really big ones, and you walk up this spiral staircase, and the pulpit is at the very top or close to the top of the pillar. So when you get up there, you stand and you look down at all the people, tiny little people down there. John Knox had preached in that pulpit, so I got a little geeked out a little bit there just for a minute. So then I thought, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to preach a sermon. And what am I going to preach on? Of course, I preached on Ruth and Boaz. And we had ourselves a wonderful time. Why am I telling this story? Anybody know? Marriage. Yeah, stay together. Okay. Jew and Gentile, yeah. It's what? Oh, the one new man? Yeah. So all that's true, and I have no idea how that fits into this particular thing here. But nonetheless, it's a free story, and that won't cost you anything extra as you're leaving today. But I guess the point is, I'll just talk about marriage. These two guys get together. Everything is against them. Families, not agreeing, and so forth. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, he changes everything. I'm approached by all these Jewish people afterwards. And they come up to him and they said, I don't know what church is like, but I guarantee you this church has never had a wedding as good as this wedding was today. I said, you know, that's right. Because God came in the room. You know, it doesn't matter what you're standing against, whether you're husband and wife, whether you're brother or sister, whether whatever you are. If the Holy Spirit is on it, God can do anything. Can he split a Red Sea? Then don't tell me you have a problem with your brother you can't get over. If you're leaning on the same one that can split a sea, did he create all the world? Did he measure out the universe in the span of his hand? Then deal with it. Because he can do anything in you. If you give him space to do it. Shall we try to finish this verse of scripture? Maybe we should try. Okay, so it goes on to say, and the glory, so he's given us glory, them. Oh, I know now, it was pronouns, that's what it was. That's got me all off there, pronouns. Pronouns, them. This is the ones that were there with him he was praying for, and the one that's coming after. He's praying for the Jewish followers and the Gentiles that are going to be believing afterwards. He's praying for them. He says, "When I'm going to give them the glory that I have." Do you know of anybody walking around the earth that has the glory that Jesus had? Do you believe Jesus' prayers are going to be answered? Someday. There's going to be a people on the earth that are going to walk in that. I wonder if it'll be our generation. Or are we going to go to our bed saying, you know what? We blew it. We had a chance. We lost it. Somebody else is going to walk in the glory. Somebody else is going to see the world change. But it's not us. Why? Because I couldn't get over Sister Hallelujah's hairdo and Brother Amen's aftershave cologne. It can be that petty. It can be that petty. And unfortunately, many times it is. What? You don't celebrate the new moon on the 15th day at 5 o'clock and at 2? What? I'm sorry, that was a little soapbox I climbed down off of really quickly. Are you serious? Okay, let's move on, shall we? Okay, so the glory I've given unto them, for what purpose? That they may be one, just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved me as I have loved them. We are one body, whether we call ourselves Ahava or Agape. We are one people, one body, believing one thing. There's not a thing that you teach here that I don't teach over there. We are exactly in line. I've never met anybody in my life that I have as much in common with doctrinally and theologically as I do with Pastor Steve. Of course, there's a lot of difference naturally. I'm much better looking than he is and everything. But beyond that, I think we're not supposed to do things like that, are we, from the pulpit? Is that right? So, he knows I love him. So, it's because it's wrong. That's right. So that's why he doesn't agree with that. And that's why it's okay with him, because it's just wrong, according to him. So, but we should not have ourselves in a place. Let me just say this. I know what Jesus prayed. I want to be a part of the answer of this prayer. And that requires that I'm going to have to deal with myself. And I'm going to have to live beyond the petty things that move me and hold me down. I'm going to have to let go of things that your flesh would like to hold on to. I'm going to have to choose to love God's law more than I love my own preference. I'm going to have to make a choice on how I'm going to deal with my brother and my sister. And I pray that that choice is made. Listen, if you make this choice, you're going to die 1,000 deaths. We have this phrase within the pastoral staff at the church. When something happens within the church and we have to go and deal with somebody, we all carry, all the pastors, we all carry an invisible sword that we pull out and we fall on all the time. You know what the Apostle Paul said, I die daily? What was he dying to? Here's a man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He had to die a daily death because guess what? His flesh was still strong. If Paul did it, you're going to have to do it. So, be prepared to die. You killed my father. Be prepared to die. You guys know what I'm talking about? Princess Bride? Okay, all right. Okay, so that was a free imitation. I used to do all kinds of really cool imitations. I used to do Jimmy Carter really well. Thank you. Thank you very much. This year, me and my family went on a trip around the world. Next year, we're going someplace else. All right, so let's just move right along. So, there should, if we apply, I don't know if I've done this here before or not, but let's just do a little experiment, okay? Shall we? To find a way how we can make this thing work, because we're so different and so varied. So go ahead and pull out your phones, those of you who are mathematically challenged, and let's do a little experiment. Now I want you guys in this room. I want you to choose a number. I don't want you to tell anybody. Don't even tell your spouse. Choose a number between 1 and a Googleplex, okay? You make it as easy or hard on yourself as you want to, all right? Don't tell anybody what you got going on. Just choose your number. Everybody ready? You got your number? Most of you got it? Some of you don't believe in this, but that's okay. You can flow with me. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to double it. Double it? Okay, add 10 to it. All right? Now, divide that by 2. Now, I want you to subtract, this is the last one, subtract the first number you chose from the number you have right now. Are we good? All right, now, On the count of three, I want everybody at the same time to say the number that's in your head. Not the one you originally wrote down, but the number that's in your head right now. On the count of three. One, two, three. What? Did everybody just say the same number? Well, oh, then you must have all chose the same number then. What number did you choose? 17? So you must have chose 17 then too. What did you choose? 613. Ooh, I wonder what that spiritual boy over here. You had three? You had three? You had nine? Anybody else? Seven? Two? One? What was that?
I chose the same number.
Anybody else got a different number? 50? 55? Okay, now hold on a second. What was yours? 12. So how is it you all started from different places, yet you all had the same answer? Did you talk to each other? Did you slip a piece of paper over to each other? Let's look at, what did you say? Oh, you were. Look what the scripture says here. Look what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. It says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus. This is strong. That you all speak the same thing. Ah, he's joking. He doesn't mean, really say this. Oh, no, he doesn't do that. Goes on. That you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. That you may be perfectly joined in the same mind and the same judgment. What kind of church is he talking about? How do we get to that place? Now, you guys didn't talk to each other, but guess what? Before you all said the same thing, you were all thinking the same thing. Weren't you? Of course, there may be one or two that didn't have five, and I won't point you out now, but you were all thinking the same thing, then you all said the same thing without talking to each other about what you just said. That means you had made a judgment call, and therefore you all had the same judgment about what the answer was going to be. Now, how do you do that if you all have a different starting point? You all got to that place because of the equation I gave you. We can do the same thing again, and we'll come up with a different answer because I will modify the equation, and your answer will be different, but you all have the same one. Say, how do you do that? That will cost you a few extra dollars before you leave. But my point is this. If there is a way that we can take the same standard and apply it to the body of Messiah, we should all be able to come up with the same answer to every question. We should be able to think the same thing and say the same thing and have the same judgment one towards another. And the only way we get there is by applying the same rule of standard, which is God's holy word. If we do this, we can find a place to unity. And of course, it's going to begin with us falling on our face, praying to God, and dealing with ourselves at the same time. Amen. So this is a call to unity, a call for us to, as we're about to enter in to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to work on our unleavenedness and find a way to truly be unleavened in all that we do. Can you say amen? Amen. So let's stand together, have a word of prayer together. Pastor Steve, is that the way we're going to end today? Or okay. So Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you, Lord God, that your word is true and forever settled in heaven. Father, we hear the prayer that Messiah made, and we express our desire, Lord God, to be a partner in seeing that prayer fulfilled. Lord, let that prayer have effect in our life. Let it change us and change our heart and change our feelings towards each other so, Father, we can find a way to walk in total unity as you and your Son and the Spirit walk together in unity. Lord, make us echad in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen and amen. God bless you all and thank you for today.